Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we have a memorial mass for Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. I wonder how much we think about it. I know sometimes people say, oh, that's just what old ladies do. But have we thought about it? I carry the rosary in my pocket. I carry it close to me because there is a way that the Lord hears our prayer because it comes not necessarily the best, that kind of category. It's just that he listens to his mother. And when we pray with the rosary, we're praying in a particular way with Mary. And what we want to do is hand over our burdens. We want to hand over our troubles, the difficulties we're having with someone. Take them to her and pray the rosary daily. I know it's hard to get into. I know it's hard to do that. But the Holy Rosary is a prayer that the Lord listens to carefully in a particular way. He always listens carefully. But he listens in a particular way because it comes from his mother. And he says here in the introduction, it says that the rosary does indeed mark the rhythm of human life, bringing it into harmony with the rhythm of the Lord's own life in the joyful communion of the Holy Trinity, our life's destiny and deepest longing. I'm reading that last two sentences, but I believe it. I believe it very, very much. And in fact, there is a sentence here I want to share with you that John Paul had said, through the rosary, the faithful receive abundant grace, as though from the very hands of the Mother of the Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, let's turn to our Blessed Mother. God hears our prayers, but he particularly just loves when we pray in his mother's name. Let's pray. I know that during this time since the strokes, I've been first lying in bed, then finally up on my feet and moving. But every day I pray the rosary. Every day I cling to it. I try to carry it in my pocket, but I actually forgot it today. But I don't forget it in my heart. Believe me, when I go home, I'm going to take some time to pray the rosary because I know that it's a prayer that the Lord gave us through his mother and a prayer that he wants us to follow. Please consider, if you say, oh, that's just an old lady's prayer or old man's prayer, don't do that. It's a prayer for each one of us, prayer for our heart. Bring the rosary before the Lord and pray it devoutly. Even if you have to pray it quickly because you have so much to do, it's amazing the kind of time you can find when you really want it. So I just encourage you to please pray the rosary. Our country is in great need of prayer right now. And our own individual situations, there are many challenges today, many. Don't despair. Don't give up hope. You can question, but don't give up hope and don't despair. Just pray and say, Lord, I put this into your hands. Help me. You can help me more than anyone could ever possibly help me. So we take a look today at the reading of the beginning of the book of the prophet Jonah, and it's a long reading. But there's so many important points in it, I want to share it with you. This is from chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and chapter 2, 2 to 11. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Wickedness has come up before me. What about that? What about your city? What about your town? What about your area? What about your friends? Are you praying for them? Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah made ready to flee to Tarshish away from the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went aboard to journey with them to Tarshish away from the Lord. Think of that. Oh, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to take care of myself. But the Lord, however, hurled a violent wind upon the sea. And in the furious tempest that arose, the ship was on the point of breaking up. And then the mariners became frightened, and each one cried to his God. To lighten the ship for themselves, they threw its cargo into the sea. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship and lay there fast asleep. And the captain came to him and said, "What are you doing asleep? Rise up, call upon your God. Perhaps God will be mindful of us so that we may not perish." And then they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots to find out on whose account we have met with this misfortune." So they cast lots, and they singled out Jonah. "Tell us," they said, "what is your business? Where do you come from? What is your country, and to what people do you belong?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And now the men were seized with great fear and said to him, "How could you do such a thing?" Because they knew he was fleeing from the Lord, because he had told them. And they asked, "What shall we do with you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more turbulent. And Jonah said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea that it may quiet down for you, since I know it is because of me that this violent storm has come upon you." Now, there was an act of generosity there. He could have hidden, he could have run, he could have dived down himself, but he let them. And yet still the men didn't do it. They rowed hard to regain the land, but they could not, for the sea grew ever more turbulent. And then they cried to the Lord, "We beseech you, O Lord, let us not perish for taking this man's life. Do not charge us with shedding innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done as you saw fit." Then they took Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea's raging abated. Struck with great fear of the Lord, the men offered sacrifices and made vows to him. But the Lord sent a large fish that swallowed Jonah. Now think of this, swallowed Jonah. And Jonah remained in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That must have been quite a time. I can't imagine what that would be like. But from the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. I despair. I'd certainly come close to despairing, but he didn't. From the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Probably prayers of remorse, prayers of petition. And then the Lord commanded the fish to spew Jonah upon the shore. God heard his prayer, and God answered him. God had mercy on him. Brothers and sisters, we can find ourselves in difficult circumstances. We can want to not declare our adherence to the Lord and to his way. We want to just keep quiet. Oh, that's just religious stuff. It's your whole life. It's your whole life. It really is. And so you want to, if something happens to you, you've done something wrong, just admit it. Just say it. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask God's blessing. "You will rescue my life from the pit, O Lord. From the midst of the nether world," this is just a portion of it, "I cried for help, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood enveloped me. And then I said, I am banished from your sight, yet would I again look upon your holy temple. When my soul fainted," he was despairing, "I remembered the Lord. My prayer reached you in your holy temple." Brothers and sisters, God is there. God hears you. Many of you may find yourselves in very difficult circumstances in life right now. You don't know how you can overcome. You don't know what you can do. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord every day and say, "Lord, help me. My goodness, I wouldn't want to be swallowed into the belly of a fish and live." But God can do all things. He had to show him how wrong he was. Take heart, brothers and sisters, from that. Turn to the Lord. Wherever you are, even if you've done something wrong, say, "I'm going to turn around right now. I admit I've done wrong, but this is what I should be doing." Do it. God is very near you and loves you and wants to care for you. And from the gospel, there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wanted to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. When he saw him, he passed by the opposite side. But he approached the victim. The Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion. He poured oil and wine over his wounds, and he bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which one of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Think of that, the one who treated him with mercy. It's a beautiful prayer when you pray the rosary. Make me merciful like your son. Help me to become more merciful in my life. Help me not to be thinking of myself first, but the needs of another who sometimes are greater than mine. The one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus says to this man, "Go and do likewise." Brothers and sisters, mercy doesn't really reign very high in our lives these days, particularly sometimes in this country and certainly in our own personal lives. There are some religious communities who particularly do works of mercy, but it's a call upon all of us. "Oh, they're doing it, so I don't have to do it." No, it's a call on all of us, every single one of us, to reach out. It may just simply be picking something up for someone or giving a next-door neighbor a ride somewhere who needs it. But you reach out to help, and you'll be amazed. I guarantee you will be amazed, especially when you die, to see all the people who would thank you for caring them. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you enough. We need to care for others. You know, we say, it's me, myself, and I. That's the triumvirate, is me, myself, and I, and it isn't. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we can keep it very simple. Just look around where you see a need and you can meet it. I really encourage you to do it for the sake of others, please. And may God abundantly bless you. May he give you new insight. May you see your neighbor in a way you haven't seen him before and say, "That person needs help," or "That person needs a work that I could do, but I don't want to. I just want to sit and watch TV." Well, maybe that's true, but what are we going to say? "No, this comes first. I need to serve another before I serve myself." So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, ask the Lord to show you. Actually, take it to the Lord and ask him, "What is it, Lord? What is it that you want me to do?" Maybe someone in the parish, whoever it may be, open your heart to that person and the Lord will bless you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.